I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody. Oh, bonjour, everyone.
Oh, bonjour.
Bonjour, oui, oui. Ça va?
I don't know French.
Muy bien.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
et
yeah.
Toi?
Oh, what are you saying to me?
Ensemble.
Do you know how I want to eat your pussy?
I do after I listen to this podcast with Guy Blaise.
Did he teach us that?
No, not necessarily. However, he has other great amounts of information.
Is eating pussy a part of being a better romantic human?
Well, it depends on the situation and the collaboration.
I'm kind of really more into pussy massage than pussy eating.
You demonstrated that with our Instagram post, which probably won't be out yet.
No, it won't, but it will be out the week after this.
Yes.
Okay, so
follow us on Instagram if you're not following us.
I demo a pussy massage on a flower.
Yeah,
okay,
you do.
Don't get your hopes up because it's not that exciting, but you should go check it out. This episode is with Guy Blaise, author of Love Like the French, a guide to romance and relationships. I found it quite fascinating, especially his perspectives on seeing romance in France and Paris and how it compares, well, the lack thereof in here in the United States. And he was like, what's going on? Why aren't people kissing and holding hands and doing all the things? And he has a lot of wonderful perspectives on that, but also some tips on how we can bring more romance, eroticism, some loving intimacy into our relationships.
And he also has a blog, which is really cool.
Yeah. And his name is Guy. Well, spelled Guy.
I thought it was Guy, and then I was corrected.
Oh, no, they're very...
It's Guy. And we also were like, is it Blaise or Blase? We weren't sure, remember, before.
Yeah.
We're like, can you please let us know? Because we want to...
Say it
sound,
right? Yeah. I hope we still did it right.
I believe we did.
I think so. Okay, Chip, before we dive in, I want to share a listener request that I don't think you've seen before. Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
This is from a listener email we got the other day. Looking back to summer of 2019, Amy interviews Aaron Alexander in episode 119, and you talked about having a naked podcast recording with the three of you. Don't you think it's time for that recording? That's it.
Wow.
I
wait,
like
with
that.
The three, I'm the third?
So no, yeah, so Aaron and I, we recorded, and I think it was something about, we're talking about like anal and shameless flirting, and we were talking about how we should do a naked podcast.
We just got busted.
We got busted doing it.
Yeah, we got fact busted.
Yeah, we need, and I was like, yeah, we're going to do that with the three of us, a naked recording. I mean, it could still be like, I don't know, people might not be able to see our nips and things, or maybe, I don't know, maybe if they give us extra monies on the Patreon, we give them the nip shot, I don't know.
It's hard to record fully naked, though, with good sound altogether. With a video.
You know how we do
particular
it?
I am.
Squadcast, yeah. We're in Squadcast now.
It's still usually only our heads.
I know, but we could gear it like right up from the nip line.
And then how will they know that we're fully nude?
They have to trust us. Do you trust us, listeners? Do you trust us?
I could be wearing big old flare bottom pants.
If we do this, I expect a lot of 5-star reviews on iTunes for this. Okay, listeners,
are you
we'll only do it
Are you going to prep my nips for me?
Yeah, too? I'll be your fluffer.
Thank you.
Yeah, want me to fluff them for you?
What is that at Burning Man when I went the one time, that thing that people wear over their bits that has...
A merkin?
A merkin.
Oh, yeah. Was there like a merkin art exhibit
there? There was something.
Like a DIY merkin?
And it was
merkin?
The most fascinating thing.
It's a pubic hair wig.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I thought was so... it's fascinating. And I had never heard of it before, but apparently it's a thing. So we could wear merkins over our titties.
Is this like Wolverine?
Maybe.
Wolverine?
I'm going to be a merkin this year for Halloween.
I'll be Wolverine.
That would be a great duo. Is that a couple's costume?
I think so.
Well, we're making it one.
Okay, you and I are going to
find it on Pinterest, okay?
You'll be
make your own Wolverine costume.
We'll be walking around looking like
don't
pubic
worry,
hair
legend. You will not be the Merkin, okay?
All right. People are like, I want to come to Santa Cruz for Halloween. All right. Anyways, so listener that wrote this, we are going to talk about this. We will try to make this happen. We might not actually be showing our nips and our vag, also known as our vulvas, but I think that we could still record. So this is the thing. I think recording naked would change the vibe a little bit, where the people could feel the energy of the naked.
It
without
needs
having to
be to
see
warm because we both get cold really fast.
I know, me too.
So in the freezing dead of summer, when it's
should
been
have done it
so
last
hot,
week it was a heat wave.
It was so hot. Yeah. That would be a good idea. Shit. I wouldn't be comfortable recording freezing. I feel
sitting on sand.
Yeah, I feel I would lose a circulation in my fingers as I always do.
April will be naked with just gloves on because she's got a condition that
I
makes
do.
It so.
It's called Raynaud's disease.
It's a thing.
And I lose circulation in my fingers often and I wear gloves all the time and people think I...
That's still naked.
I'm very strange. And I would.
Like being naked and having sex but with socks on. You're still naked. Or like the beanie.
Yeah.
Remember the beanie guy? That
yeah.
Didn't you have sex with someone who just wore socks and a beanie?
I did. Well, it was one of those kind of...
skull cap?
I don't know how else to describe it. It's sort of a biker kind of cap where it has a smaller
bill. Was
this head
cold or was it just part of the look?
I'm not sure. I never checked in about that.
Are you listening, human? We want to know.
If you are listening.
Was your head cold? Or is this part of the look? Or maybe you were afraid to be naked, but this helped you feel safer, more comfortable?
Yeah. I never questioned it. Mm. I was just like, that's your thing. Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
I hot. Sometimes have... sex with my... I don't like having sex with socks on.
What about sexy knee-high socks, though? Or, like, over-the-knee socks?
High heels. Yeah. I'll do the high-heel sex. For whatever reason, it really does just help me feel like I'm dropping into the situation.
Have you ever poked an eye out on accident with a stiletto?
Typically, I do not partake in any 69 situation, and my feet are angled towards the other person's
so no
feet.
Accidental stiletto up the bung hole.
I would not want to participate in that.
That sounds medieval. All right, everyone. Anyways, we're going to get into a sex question in a minute, and then we will get to Guy Blaze's episode here. But first, speaking of bung holes, let's talk about Uberlube. Not just for the bum, also for all kinds of sex. So Uberlube, you've heard us talk about this in the podcast 5 million times. We are obsessed with Uberlube. It is an hour expert opinion, the best lube on the market.
You know what I realized I loved about it so much? Some lubes, you have to flip open the cap to get it out. This one...
The pump top.
I'm sorry to use this reference, but the Wizard of Oz and Tin Man, when he has to get oiled and you kind of easily... That's what it reminds me of. It's like... Doot, doot, doot.
Super easy.
It's easy to
you don't
get
need
on
two
the
hands
body.
For it. You know, fun fact about that? So those ones on the other lubes where it's just the cap that opens, it sucks air and all the bacteria that's on top of it back into the bottle. And the Uber Lube pump top is biostatic, so it doesn't pull bacteria back into it.
That is I had no idea. Yeah. That's
and
why I love it so much.
It's amazing. And it never gets sticky. It's long lasting. It has no flavor, no scent. It's good for vaginal sex. It's less likely to change the pH. It's great for people who are really sensitive to lubes. It's great for oral sex because it doesn't hurt your body. No flavor, no scent. And also great for anal sex because the ass doesn't lubricate itself. So if you want to try what we think is the best lube on the market, go to uberlube.com. Use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX. You get 10% off and free shipping. You most likely will not regret it. Be a part of the fan club.
If you only had a heart.
Or a pussy.
Or if you only had some lube.
Some Uber lube.
You would not go.
All right, you ready for a sex question, Chip?
Absolutely.
I'm a cisgender heterosexual male, married and monogamous for over 20 years. My sex life is great and my wife is super hot and somewhat open-minded. I'm obsessed with strap-on porn and I play anally with myself, and recently my wife has been cool with me wearing a butt plug while we play. But I also have an intense fantasy of having her peg me. Anal play is fun, but I want the cock component. The thing is, my wife does not like to talk about sex. She wants things to be spontaneous and not talked about. She won't open up to me about her fantasies, and if we ever get to the point where sex talk does happen, it gets uncomfortable and shut down right away. How do I ask for what I want if she won't talk about it? And is this one of those fantasies that is great during masturbation, but might not be my jam in real life? Any advice would be awesome. So pegging, everyone, if you don't know, we've done episodes on this one with Rain DeGray, I believe, is when a vulva owner is wearing a strap-on harness and is topping, so they're penetrating anally, a penis owner. And this is really popular. A lot of people are into it.
Dan Savage coined this?
No, I don't. I don't know if he coined pegging. He has a lot of taglines.
Yes, he does. He gave us a shout out too.
He said he loved Shameless Sex.
He did, which I wasn't planning on saying. I thought that he did. I could be wrong with pegging. I know monogamish for sure.
Yeah, that's his.
And pegging is because it's not a super new term, but it's also not ancient by any means. It's been occurring for a long time. It's just newer when because it has an actual classification.
Well, and now we have all the toys for it too. Like, I think people, penis owners, have been into being pegged, I'm doing air quotes, for a long time, but we didn't have maybe like dildos and harnesses the way we do on the market these days. We have some really fabulous products for this, by the way. If you ever want any of really amazing dildos and strap-ons and harnesses, go to purepleasureshop.com with coupon code shamelesssex. You get 15% off. Yep, I own that store with my mommy. Hey, mom. Anyway, so back to this person's question, though. So you have a partner who is somewhat open-minded, might actually be open to this, but doesn't want to talk about it. So how do you bring this up when it's not feeling safe to talk about things? So I'm curious, how did you actually talk about the butt plug part and how did that actually go? Because that happened. Now you're using a butt plug. Your wife is into it. How did you propose that? What was the conversation? Some ideas on how you might be able to bring this up without talking about it. I still recommend trying to talk about it. But what if you went on a date to a sex shop? And you went and just, let's go look at the toys and see what we might be into. And you just go to that section and you see a harness and you say, I'd be into trying that with this dildo over here, but you wearing it, are you open to it? And so maybe, I don't know, I'm curious if it's more like the intimate sit down part of the conversation that's uncomfortable for her. And if you're just in it and talking about the products and just like the nuts and bolts, if that's easier for her, I don't know.
That's a great point. Something, if the uncomfortability comes within the actual conversation, perhaps you could take any sort of penetration, bedroom, sexy time off the table and do a little R&D research separately with porn or different ideas, writing them down separately on your own, drop into the fantasies, and then you share those.
Oh, I love that.
Right? So you're like, this is the porn that I loved or that I'm into. You can write it down if you don't want to speak to it and have... It's almost like a workshop within your couples.
I think that's great. Yeah. So what if you went and wrote about it? And then so the thing is, maybe she's not into writing about it because she doesn't want to share her fantasies. So you could bring it up. How about we go and write a list of yes, no's, and maybes?
Or watch some porn that you like or write.
And then share
searching.
It. Yeah. And then you compare notes and say, and then they can also look at your list and write, yes, I'm a yes to this thing that you're a yes to. I'm a no to this maybe.
Have the boxes.
Yeah, a little checkbox.
Yes, no.
Or if she's a
hard no.
I'm a hard ass. No, the harder, the better. Except I do like a soft cock. So she doesn't want to share her fantasies? Maybe you just do it and say, can you, I'm going to write this down. Can you circle the things that you're yes to? And then we do it. Now, what if she doesn't circle pegging? Now you're like, this is really a thing for me. Then I'd say, talk about it. This is something I've been watching in porn. I'm really interested in trying this. I know this is uncomfortable for you to talk about, but can you at least tell me if you're yes to it or if you're open to trying it? It's kind of important to me.
This is, again, reason number 3,425 that we need a Shameless Sex Hallmark card series.
Oh, my God. It's a great idea.
Will you peg me? Yes or no? I love you. And then you put it out.
And then when? What day?
Yes. Yeah. What day? Answer here. I don't know. I'm just always.
That's adorable. Yeah.
Will you peg me? Anal play is fun. Will you peg me, please?
And the last thing I'll say about the question about, or is this just for fantasy during masturbation, or maybe I won't be into it? You never know until you get there. I have fantasies that are just for my spank bank, and I'm not really interested in doing in real life, or maybe I have, and it hasn't been my jam. But I don't. Some of them I'm already aware of that and I'm not going to try them. Some of them I tried and then I realized it wasn't my thing. So you don't know till you get there. And the other thing is pegging, you need to have some anal sex 101 skills too. When you're having someone wear a harness and penetrate you or have a homegrown cock and penetrate you, there is a skill to it. And that's why we have lots of anal sex podcast episodes. Anal August, we have more coming out. Oh, Eric Everhard's coming back. The porn star guy to teach about anal sex. So
it might be, if you think about pegging, there is a sense of dominance that does come along with pegging. And if this person's partner isn't into dominating, that could be a thing. And there's other ways, though, that could be incorporated, getting a dildo that suctions to the wall and she watches you.
Fucking yourself.
Ooh. Or if it is for you, this listener that posed this question, you want your wife to peg you. perhaps you could warm her up with watching you get pegged with a suction cup dildo attached to something, typically a space that isn't very textured, bath tile, or something like that. That might be a helpful way to slowly ease into that world.
Yeah. But
pegging can be, it's a dominance thing.
Totally. Yeah. And it can, maybe she'll be really into it too. You don't really know. And if you find that this is something that you need in your life and your partner's not willing to show up in this way or experience this with you, there's also, I don't know, there's sex workers and things. I mean, that's a negotiation piece in your relationship, but there's just other ways to explore it. But yeah, I like a lot of these ideas on how we can explore things without having conversations. And I still recommend having the conversation if you can. And I just want to say, if you want to know about some of the best harnesses for strap-on play, we love Spare Parts mm-hmm. harnesses. They're incredible. They're made of a bathing suit material. Again, we have them at purepleasureshop.com. They're some of the best harnesses. And there's harness for penis owners on there too for harness play as well.
They are really incredible harnesses. I've watched you put that on during
snow training.
During trainings for, I don't know, 10 years now, maybe a little less, but it's always
entertaining.
Quite entertaining. Over her clothes.
Yeah.
And everyone loves that.
I've walked around trade shows with her.
Oh, yeah, you have. Yeah, with a dildo.
I mean, I had clothes there.
Yeah, she had it over her pants. Okay, are you ready for Guy Blaise's bio?
Yeah.
Guy Blaise is an author and Frenchman currently living and working in America. He lived in Eastern France and Paris, where he witnessed the dating experiences of the strong women in his family and listened closely to the advice his grandmother routinely gave them about love. After 2 decades of living in America and struck by the differences between two cultures, approaches to romance and sex, Guy started writing books offering his insights and started the French Perspective blog. To learn more, go to thefrenchperspective.com. But first,
we know the story of boy meets girl, but what about girl meets girl? Or maybe boy meets girl and they meet another girl. With Dipsy, you get to hear what really happens behind closed doors. We are in love with Dipsy, an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on anywhere, anytime. Listen to stories about hooking up with your hot yoga teacher, or finally having that foursome you've always dreamed of, or maybe a story that puts you in bed with someone who's telling you exactly what they'd like to do to you.
They release new content every week, so you'll never get bored. And if you need to wind down, Dipsy also has wellness sessions, sensual bedtime stories, and soundscapes to help you relax before you drift off. And for our listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/shameless. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/shameless. dipsystories.com/shameless. All right, it's interview time.
All right, everyone, it is interview time, and we are here with Guy Blaise. Ooh, I love the name Guy Blaise, master of romance and relationships, author of Love Like the French, A Guide to Better Romance and Relationships. Who doesn't want that? I know I always want as much romance and love as possible. So without further ado, we'll dive right on in, because we always start with the same question for all of our guests, Guy. How did you get to where you are today in the field of sex, relationships, romance, and especially writing this book?
I was trained in France as an engineer and a scientist. So I got a job here in America as in a biotech. So I moved from Paris to America for work. But my first impression when you land in America is to see, wow, these people, they don't kiss each other. They don't hold hands. What is that about, you know? It's like everybody is just on check, like Jesus is watching you guys, like, hey, you know. So I decided to interview many women in America and in France to kind of compare what makes the women in America and in France different. So I interviewed close to 160 American women and flew to France. Interview about 67 French women. And I came up with a book called A Frenchman Perspective on American Woman. So that was in 2018, I think, December. And then the reaction came after from American women. So the reader were writing me a lot of letters. I wish you have talked more about sex in your book. And I say, okay, well, you guys, you know, ask me your questions. So I got close to 300 questions from women all over the US. Well, I picked 60, the best one, because some question was similar. So, and then I decided to make it a book, Love Like the French. Mm-hmm. And no taboo, I didn't remove anything from their question. So some of them are very hot topics, but, you know, we are French, we can handle it.
Oh, that's a beautiful story, Guy, and also necessary. I want to give a shout out to the French in general. I've hooked up with some French folks before, and very great lovers. And so I was excited to record this with you. Yeah. I won't give you the juicy details because this is not about that. So the next question is, it's kind of interesting because we're taught some things while growing up from your French grandmother, which I never thought to take tips from my grandmother, but I'm excited to learn what you learned regarding romance because people are always craving more romance. So what are some tips from your grandmother?
So, you know, I have an advantage. I'm her first grandson. So she's 93. Yeah, she lives in Bordeaux, if you know France, Bordeaux in the Gironde region. So I was the first grandson, so I was very close to her. And I see her becoming a wife to become a widow. So she lost her husband, my grandfather. And then she ended up with five daughters that she has to raise, which are my aunts. And I got all these tips. I become so passionate about the advice. I'll give you an example. She speaks in anecdotes when she wants to advise her daughter. When a woman loves her husband or a partner more than he loved her, she's in trouble. That's a good one that you can think about it, that if a man doesn't show you more love than you love her, you're in serious trouble. Mm. So you have to expect balance in a relationship dynamic. The way to behave, the way to be a feminine, you have to, you know, take care of yourself and don't expect a validation from a man. You have to value yourself before even someone outside value you. She's 93, but she's still very lucid in her thinking. Right now she's in Montpellier. She's probably listening to me with a translator.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a lot of it is about almost like empowerment of women and their sexuality and relationships, and not necessarily just about romance, but about empowerment and taking care of yourself first and voicing your needs, you know, seeing if there's something that feels out of balance and speaking to that. Is that what you're saying? It felt more like she was really empowered.
Yeah, they all tie together. I think what I have noticed just here in America, when I see the people I have interviewed, they say same topics, the same problem they have, no sex in a marriage, no showing affection, communication problem. And they all tie together. I mean, can you imagine if you don't get along, how can you expect sex to be great?
Mm-hmm. Unless you love that revenge sex.
voila. So it's just everything is tied together, in fact, mm-hmm. The dynamic of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, so when we talk about romance, I'm curious. So what is romance really all about? Like, what does it mean? What does romance mean? What does it mean to be romantic? Why are some people so shy to be romantic? And then why do people crave it so much?
Well, depending on where you are, I think romance in general, when I look at it in a French perspective, romance is art, you know. You have to learn how to love your partner. It's not about expecting in exchange something. You know, you have to think that in public you need to hold your woman's or your partner's hand, or a surprise gift to your partner, or make plans to go. Like here in America, I see romance is tied to restaurants. It's not necessarily true that every time you take your partner to a restaurant, oh, he's so romantic. But you can go to a food bank and spend 1 hour with your partner helping people who need food, or go to the gym, or run, do exercise together, or travel together to go explore a different area. So it's a very vast romance romance is it's a fascinating part. Don't give a flower only on Valentine's. Surprise your partner. Grab a flower. Don't be ashamed, because if you get out from a store with a flower in your hand, people look at you, well, what's wrong with him? He's in trouble. That's not true. You have to constantly please. And both ways, it's not only in one way that a man have to always do, but that's travel together, give a massage, watch a movie together, you know, yeah, voilà, mm-hmm. That's a romance. It's yeah, vast. It's
sometimes the most romantic gestures, too, aren't really that romantic. In my world, if I come home and my partner had cleaned the entire house and it was sparkling clean and the folded all my laundry and put it away, I'd be like, that is so romantic. Like that actually for me is something that is genuinely I would appreciate. So it can be lots of different things, acts of service, like the love languages and learning about what turns your partner on.
Exactly. Because one of the cause of divorce in France, it's not necessarily economic money, but it's also how you prevent frustration to your partner, because the role way of thinking that, oh, kitchen is for woman, laundry is for woman. But a smart man need to think ahead that if you put all the load on the woman, to expect great sex at night, she's going to have some resentment. So you have to be proactive. Mm-hmm. That's why I always say that I don't believe in love. Mm-hmm. I believe in active love. See what I mean?
I love that. I'm writing that down right now. Yeah,
that's really good. Yeah.
Active love. If you can say I love you every day, you don't show action, it's useless. It's like a slogan. I love you, but show me.
And a lot of these things you're talking about, it's important to, and this is more of just my observation of what you're talking about, it's almost more important to nurture the relationship from a friendship or a best friend standpoint than considering a lover, romance, lover, passion all the time. Like doing these things together builds that symbiotic relationship, and you can exchange more than just sex and passion. There's this foundation that you're building. Is that kind of right?
Exactly, because I believe that, you know, the number one enemy of routine is inaction. I think when you do more, you kill a routine, doing different things. Today, you can surprise your partner. Let's go to the beach without thinking. But what I notice here, the deficit of actions, especially among guys, I'm sorry to say it, but guys, just wait. When he want to take his partner to a restaurant, he will talk about it. But it's sometimes the wife who have to schedule the babysitter. But if you want to make a day for your woman, you take care of the babysitter, you make the whole plan. It's like halfway away. Mm-hmm. So that's just not making no sense.
I'm curious why. So because what I'm hearing for you is this also is like a skill, right? Like you don't just say, I love you. I learn to show my love, or there's the actions that I have too. And you said romance is an art. So do you think for the people, and I won't even just generalize it as just men, because I think I actually know some women too, who are like, I don't like romance, or I don't do romance, or I'm not romantic. Do you think that, most people enjoy some form of romance? Do you think that a lot of people are just either out of practice with it, or they've never had practice with it? Like, what do you think that's about? Like, I think I see a lot of people get in their own way, whether it's like, I'm not a romantic person, so my partner keeps asking for it, but I'm not going to do it. Or vice versa, I'm not a romantic partner, I don't need X, Y, and Z. But what do you think that's about?
I think it's the way you were shaped. I mean, I always blame the Puritans, who screw off the whole nation of America, because I tell you that if you don't know something, you don't have an opinion about it. I mean, I've seen it even just in my own dating experience. You are meeting a woman, you make a small gesture, she sees it, it's like big. It's based on the expectation women have in America. For us, men cry. If you want to express your feelings, you can cry. It's okay. That does not make you a weak person. But those women, they have low expectations, because they really don't know what a man can do. No woman can refuse help from a man. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an egalitarian man, period. Mm-hmm. That does not make me weak. Mm-hmm. I believe that women should be worshipped, respected, no matter what. And if you want a good marriage, you have to do your part. Don't leave a woman in the kitchen, take care of the children 100%, and you're sitting having your beer. That's absurd. Mm-hmm. Absurd. And you expect great sex? No.
Where's the great? Why do I get the great sex?
I know. Yeah. Do you think that some of it is people's idea about what romance should be? And they have this idea that it has to be this like rose petals all over the bed and candles lit and a bath drawn. Because I think maybe here we can invite people to reframe their idea of romance.
Exactly.
And I think that is probably.
Exactly. Because you guys have a scheme in America. It's like A, B, C, D. It's like sex. If I touch her, I penetrate her, the final is an orgasm. Mm-hmm. The goal of sex is not orgasm. And sex starts 6 hours before even sex. You have to build a momentum. If you know you are having sex tonight, don't be a jerk. Mm-hmm. Work your way until you get that moment. But there is also life after sex. The moment you finish having those orgasms, don't leave the bed. That's the best moment to talk. Mm-hmm. You guys call it a vulnerability or vulnerable, being vulnerable, but that's the best. No, I think that mindset, I don't know. That's why I say it again, that maybe the Puritans are to blame for it. You have to liberate your own mind to see.
That's also aftercare, right? After you have sex, the aftercare that's involved. It's not just roll over, and it is the exchange of
exchange. I think I said to you guys, American woman, that I wish I can send you all in France, even for 1 month, not to see the Eiffel Tower or see Versailles or Le Louvre. I guarantee you, after 1 month of sex tourism, you come back to America, you will fire all your husbands.
They're fired.
Oh, yeah, fired.
Yeah. Or we're like, you're temporarily laid off until you start putting in some more work at time.
I guarantee you that many husbands will be fired. No job, no more. Because you said to so low, you need to be more demanding in the bed, outside the bed.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast was made possible by Willy Willy Hot Sauce. It's barbecue season, and you know you want to be the person who shows up to the party with the most mouthgasmic goods. And hot sauce is the perfect addition to all of your summertime treats. That's why you need to become the proud owner of our friend Will's Willy Willy Hot Sauce. It's made right here in super sexy Santa Cruz. So go get your O-face ready and go to willywillyhotsauce.com/shameless to get 2 bottles for just $10.
When we want it hot and spicy, we whip out that Willy Willy hot sauce. And when we want it sweet with a little bite, we indulge in Willy Willy's sexy sauce. If you love hot sauce like us, or you're looking for that perfect gift, we Willy Willy got you covered, because Shameless Sex listeners get 2 for 1. That's 1 Willy Willy hot sauce and 1 Willy Willy sexy sauce for just $10. Just go to willywillyhotsauce.com/shameless to get your 2 for 1. That's willywillyhotsauce.com/shameless. We Willy Willy love this hot sauce, y'all, so go get yourself some.
This podcast was also made possible by OMGYes.com. OMGYes is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGYes studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm, and then made beautiful animated modules and super honest short videos to give you ways to reach even more pleasure. I've been recommending OMGYes to my clients for years, and it's been changing their lives.
We all know pleasure is fluid and ever-changing, so why not add more tools to your pleasure tool belt? OMGYes is for everyone, so whether you are a vulva owner or you just love vulvas, OMGYes will give you the techniques to get your O-face on. There are 2 seasons to choose from and hundreds of gorgeous videos to explore, so go see what science says about pleasure and visit omgs.com/shameless.
That's omgs.com/shameless to get $5 off your OMGS access. Again, omgs.com/shameless. Go check it out. Now back to the show.
That's so interesting that what you're speaking to. So I was recently working with someone, a client, and they're having some pain and discomfort during sex with a partner, and they are working on how to share that and express that to them. And they were like, well, they hadn't seen their partner in a while. So when I see my partner, I'll give it a couple times. If it keeps happening, then I'll speak to it. And I was like, what makes you think that your pussy should have even one time of it not feeling good or feeling uncomfortable? I guarantee he's not doing that.
Exactly. And I met a woman, women who are even afraid to tell their partner that. And I asked, well, why? The moment the penis enters the vagina, I call the vagina the cookie, yeah? So my own vocabulary. So when the penis enters the cookie, you are equal. But why you cannot speak? If you in pain, say stop. But they're terrified. Oh, if I say something, he's going to think he's a bad lover. But if he's bad, he's bad. You need to train. I mean, it's not your woman's job to train a man how to make love to a woman. They need to educate themselves. And there are so many women show up there that teach you, give you tips. I watch a lot of French women show. They teach you how to take care of a woman in bed and after sex. Yeah, people need to speak up.
What I'm hearing, and I know the book has all the questions, which we are alluding to a lot of it, is about romance and sex and a lot of folks are feeling unfulfilled in their romantic partnerships, especially when they're long-term. So I'm assuming this book is for all genders and partnered or unpartnered people. So you've given some tips on how people can learn to be romantic. And I think there are a lot of ways to expand on those in different ways, depending on the partnership.
Yeah.
What are there little changes in the day-to-day as well that can make a difference in having a more healthy, fulfilling relationship? Are there small changes?
Yes. Well, I give you an example. If you live in people who have been married long time, if you live in a 5-bedroom or 4-bedroom house, but time to time, each of you need to split. Take a one room and one person host the partner. If you live in one, sharing the bed, sharing the same bed does not mean sharing the same dream. So sometimes you need some time alone. And the moment you come back together, it's like a refreshing. That's one of the tips I can give you, that you can live in the same house in a separate room. That does not mean necessary. It's a bad thing.
I think that the little things in life are, I've heard that people describe this for orgasm too, like the little pieces in life are the stepping stones to the bigger ones. And I think a lot of people undervalue them, that just by doing little things, like April's talking about acts of service, to like sending just a sweet text message, that's just like thinking about you. It's a small little thing.
Yes.
But they all add up to a bigger picture. And I like what, you know, April was kind of alluding at before too, that a lot of people think romance is a huge thing that has to happen, which can be exhausting and a lot of pressure. So what you're saying is the little things all matter.
They add up. I mean, in math, you say 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 gets N. So little things, love, a little card, unexpected. I love you. Thank you for what you did for me yesterday. You know, that adds up, that she recognized that, okay, you are seeing what the effort I'm making. Or he recognized that, you know, it's vice versa. It's that matter. At the end of the day, it's what's rewarding is the sex that you want to have. But if there is a resentment, I mean, it's a blockage. I mean, I just noticed that when men don't make an effort, for example, to recognize that, okay, my wife was very kind and doing everything for me, but you're just shooting yourself on your shoe, on your foot.
It seems like complacency, especially in speaking on in terms of long-term relationships, I think that's a lot of times when it's really difficult because, and I won't speak for everyone, but it is common to get complacent and then also
appreciate your partner because, oh, they're always there. They're just there. And you just stop valuing them. And so you stop wanting to even help them feel special, or you don't even realize that you stopped helping them feel special. So it's like the courting period, maybe you could try to tap into that more regularly, exactly. Right? Pretend it's the first date. Pretend it's right.
Exactly. Because what as a French, I live here watching. What a man do is, what a man does is, I get you a big house, you got a big car, you got a boat, I put a ring on your finger, voila. That's it. No effort after. Loving is, there is no holiday for love. You have to love. Don't wait for Valentine to show it. You have to go. Every day you have to remember. What if everybody can put on their dashboard, what can I do nice for my partner today? I would carry you 365 days. But I see that complacency is like, okay, I got you. Well, that's it. You got a ring, you got a house, you got a beautiful kids. Well, that's it. I don't have to work hard anymore. But that would kill relationships.
Mm-hmm. And in turn, sex. Then, you know, in sex, it can follow suit with that, right? Because people feel disconnected, or they're not feeling worshipped or adored. And, you know, some people, I was working with another client the other day who was starting to say that they want to feel worshipped by their partner, but then they're like, but actually, maybe that's not the right word. And I was like, well, why not? You know, what's wrong with that word? And she's like, well, when I think of worship, I think of them like bowing down, kissing my feet. And I was like, well, if that's what you want, that's awesome. But worship can also just be like adored.
That's called a fanatism. That's not worshiping. It's a respect that's called a fanatism. No, that's not what's really should be. It's about respecting her and listening. Mm-hmm. You know, when a man does not listen, you know, not paying attention, or you have a romantic man, men know how to listen. Always wonder to know how is your life? How is your day? What you thinking? What is in your mind right now? You care. You show it every day.
Oh, so some of the top tips I'm hearing then, so if people want some applicable tips to apply now, one you just said is curiosity, constantly getting curious about your partner, even if you know them like the back of your hand. Another one is be a good listener. If you're not, start learning how to listen better. There's lots of courses and things on how to do that.
It's very important. Mm-hmm. I mean, the key of communication is listening and taking a moment. Don't be defensive. Pay attention when someone is crying or telling you, here I'm hurting, but take a pause, a moment, listen.
Mm-hmm. I have this thing I do when people are, sorry, it's kind of funny. I think it ties in. When people, even when friends sometimes, if they're kind of talking at me for a long time, I'm like, whoa, 80-20. So we should be listening 80% of the time and talking 20%. And so I'll say it, but it's a gentle way to kind of remind them like, hey, 80-20, because I have some things I want to say. This is a conversation. Unless you just want a monologue, I'll just sit here. But of course, like,
exactly. Or time yourself. Time yourself. Give me 5 minutes. I give you 5 minutes. Well, many women I met here who are just confused, or because he desired me. That, you know, desire is not a proof of love.
Talking stick.
Because men love sex anyway.
Mm-hmm. Hand the talking stick back and forth. You have the talking stick now.
Well, and then also notice when you have the talking stick, like I just interrupted you. See, I'm a bad listener. because also notice when someone else is talking, how much you want to jump in and your mind distracts and doesn't listen to them and create stories about yourself. These are all skills though. We're not trained in that. At least I could speak for American culture. I've had to learn so much about, and I'm still learning how to not interrupt April and be a better listener, but also about all these things, about how to be curious about my partner, how to ask them questions about themselves. And even when it comes to love languages, because the other key pieces I want to highlight about what you shared is romance doesn't have to be a huge one-time big gesture. In fact, it shouldn't be. It's actually the little things that you do forever, and it's constantly working to maintain this. And there's the little pieces that I'll actually matter. I don't know where I was going with this actually. So I'm going to leave it at that with my summaries, but do you have any other little tips that you wanted to add that people should incorporate now?
Incorporate it about, for example, let's talk sexuality, sex, big topic. Well, a man have to learn. I know that women are mysterious. Women, you know, women, you guys cannot expect us to know your body. I know your body first. And then you need to guide me. You need to teach me how you need to be touched, what's the best part to touch you. Poor man, we are blind. We're like blind people driving a car sometimes, and it requires some effort. You have to make an effort to want to know. Once you want to know, but to know, you need to ask a question. If you don't ask a question, you think that, okay, you go there and bam, 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 it's over. She's happy. I'm happy. No, the resentment is there. It's just, she's not happy, actually. Many women I interview here say they come short, but they cannot speak up. Because if you speak up, you calling me a bad lover. Because everybody got a big head, they think they're great.
You know, Guy, we talk a lot on this show about how people aren't psychic in relationships, right? And that, and so this speaks to that. And also, it's incredible over the years when I talk a lot about sex, obviously, but even off the podcast, and I'll talk to some friends that I've known for ages, and they don't masturbate, and they're not having sex that is bringing them orgasm with their partners. And I'm like, well, are you knowing what turns you on? And they're like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. It is about learning your own body, whether you're a penis owner, a vulva owner, and being able to talk about what you like. And you don't have to do it while you're in the act of sexual experience. You can do it before. Yeah. Be like, hey, I really want a lot of warm up on my pussy tonight. I really want some oral and then some nipple play. Or I really want to explore with you, and I'll give you some taps if I like something, if you don't feel comfortable speaking. So I think there's different ways to engage. And remembering, and we talk about so much, Amy and I, that people are not psychic. So self-exploration, and it's now, right, we're recording this in Masturbation May. So whether or not it's May, June, July, or August, masturbate with your hand, with toys, and figure your body out if you don't.
Yeah. Sex education in America is porn. I mean, basically thinking that the banging is what makes you a great lover. That's not true.
So where do the French learn it? Is it from their parents, or is it from television, or is it from like generational? That's
generational. Sex education is reality. Sex education is taught. Sex is not a taboo in France. Like I wrote this book, Love Like a French, where people will say, oh, your daughter are going to read it. Well, of course, they're going to read. But that's how I'm passing my knowledge about sexuality. And it's never taboo in radio, in TV, everybody talk about with no discomfort.
This is why we all have jobs. Thanks, porn. And then, and even aside from porn, also religion, like you said, Puritanism, and a lot of things have been around for hundreds of years that go beyond the when porn came out in the, you know, 60s and 70s. And porn continues to reinforce these beliefs.
So many good things come out of French people and culture, like French kissing. I mean, I don't know if you all invented that, but maybe the cave people did, but that was a good one. And what else? Oh, latitude and longitude. You know, the center of the earth is Paris. So FYI, that's right. Because Napoleon said that is true. So I believe him.
Yes.
So, and then this book also came out of an amazing French human, which is Hugues Blaise. And I'm excited to read this because I want a more in-depth perspective about culturally why I just want to take a look into the history of the French and why they are such amazing lovers. And so please, for the folks listening out there, whether they're American or Canadian or wherever they're from, because there might be some French listeners, how can they buy your book, and where can they buy it, and how can they find you or work with you?
Okay, so the books are on Amazon, Love Like the French, and Barnes & Noble. And I also have a website called thefrenchperspective.com. That's all open there, Love Like the French. And the previous book is called Vive la Différence, A Frenchman's Perspective on American Woman. So those are the books that are...
Oh, Guy, thank you so much for sharing some of your wisdom. I think this is helpful, no matter if you're in a partnership or you're single, or exploring romance is so important. Even it even comes up in just being more in tune with even some friends, not being romantic, but just living in that love space and doing more to show people your appreciation and affection for them. So thank you for reminding me. It is so important. Yeah. And I'm going to send Amy a big heart XO emoji kiss face via phone and in person at some point soon. But thank you. And viva la France. And to any of you out there, if you're into menage a trois with your right hand, left hand, and a glass of wine, I recommend checking out marginswine.com. Actually, when you buy three or more bottles and you use the code shamelesssex10, you get 10% off. If you buy six or more bottles, you get 15% off with the code shamelesssex15. Learn why Amy and I have been huge fans. We just got our newest shipment and there's some left, y'all. And there's some varietals in there that are unique and beautiful. And I actually haven't even heard of. Amy and I were like, whoa, we drank some the other day together and it was lovely. So merci beaucoup, Margins Wine, and to Guy Blaise. Merci. And merci, we'll see you soon.
Thank you for having me, Amy and April. It's a great honor.
It was such a pleasure, and we will see you next Tuesday, y'all. Ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.